Part 5, The Flaming Lips, Quadraphonic Ambience. Today, the techniques developed and advanced by Eno are not only common, but have been extended even further. Artists are still creating musical environments, as for an airport or art installation, but they are also seeking ways to blur the boundaries between performance and appreciation, playing and listening, production and consumption. The Flaming Lips stand as a contemporary example of the dispersal of the creative process into new, communal technological forms. In these artists' hands, ambience is not just mood music, but rock music of a newly participatory kind. Punk rock in the 1970s had already ushered in some of these ideas in its attempt to break down barriers, sundering artist and audience by celebrating a do-it-yourself aesthetic, inspired amateurs, and increased audience interaction. The Flaming Lips build opportunities for audience participation through experimental projects that nevertheless remain attuned to the band's original musical intentions. The experiments produce not only music, but also participatory, immersive experiences that have deep affinities with today's sophisticated digital and reproductive technologies and the techniques we see emerging. These experiments attend to the possibilities of bringing as many media forms together as possible, of heightening the total art experience, and of getting the audience involved equally as contributors to the music and effectively as part of the happening. If, as explained above, Eno was an audience to his own results, and thereby a key figure in seeing the dispersion of the singular composer as agent into multiple agencies, then the Flaming Lips take us even further, highlighting the most significant aspects of prosumer culture through their auditory and visual experimentation. In 1997, the Flaming Lips released Zarika, an unusual album in that its music was spread across 4 CDs meant to be played at the same time. Also included with the album was a postcard that explained that the Flaming Lips were, quote, conducting a series of experimental concerts in parking lots and banquet rooms, using car stereos and portable tape players, up to 300 pre-recorded and pre-arranged cassette tapes, and utilizing audience participation, they have created multi-dimensional surround sound events that are challenging the conventional ideas of what a concert can be, end quote. Before the release of Zarika, the Flaming Lips were experimenting with headphones, FM transmissions, and multiple sound sources, all of which required audience participation. The first were called the parking lot experiments and involved fans syncing tapes to their car stereos. Then came the boombox experiments, which asked audience members to control pre-recorded elements. Later, the experiment was conducted through headphones. Ambient sound was played underneath the pre-recorded elements, and these sounds interacted with the quieter, individually broadcast elements piped into the audience members' headphones. These collective experiments resulted in a decidedly prosumer feel to lips shows that began to redefine what it meant to go to a concert, since they further blurred the distinction between live performance and recorded music, and between artist qua producer and audience qua consumer. The Flaming Lips were overcoming the limitations of the concert form by recapturing the experience of a happening. In this case, the happenings were also multimedia events, where the music was but one element in an immersive, total music experience, constituting yet another evolution in the Gestapo's work. However, this discussion only begins to scratch the surface of the Lips' musical whirlwind for technological innovation has a much larger role to play than we have so far indicated. The Flaming Lips continued their experimentation as introduced in their boombox concerts to include advances in audio technology, exemplified by the 2003 release Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots. It included a bonus DVD remix to take advantage of advances in surround sound to include all 5 speakers plus subwoofer of the Dolby 5.1 standard. The widespread dissemination of Dolby 5.1 as a standard assured Warner Bros., the label holding the Flaming Lips distribution rights and ultimate copyright holder of the Lips intellectual property, that there would be equipment available to play what the band had envisioned. Dolby Technical Standard provided an avenue for the band's expression, yet it also served as a corrective to any technological determined sense of sound mixing. That is, Dolby 5.1 was integral to the distribution of the sound experiments the band was already producing, as on Zurika's multiple CDs and the parking lot and boombox experiments. But before and without Dolby 5.1, the Flaming Lips were producing groundbreaking, multiple-channel, audience-involved rock and roll. But the widespread acceptance of the Dolby 5.1 standard by music producers and distributors, coupled with the parallel marketing and purchase of modestly priced surround sound stereo equipment for home use, ensured that the Flaming Lips had a base of newly installed equipment, as well as curious audiophiles who were looking to take advantage of their multi-channel audio-video investments. It would be difficult to separate the Lips' experimental successes from these other parallel advances, and the DVD becomes an example of the Flaming Lips' appropriately pyrotic response, a band taking advantage of a cultural moment where technology and desire aligned with their sound experimentations. These projects highlight the ways digital tools can make creation in multiple media forms available to aspiring auteurs, musicians, photographers, animators, and more. Equally, they speak to the necessity of an undergirding technological network that functions akin to a covalent bond in chemical reactions. This constitutes, with increasing importance, the second sense we ascribe to the term worlding. The experiments require the surrounding technologies to thrive, aesthetically and economically. The technologies open up the aesthetic realm within which the experiments can come into being. This realm also includes those who utilize these technologies. Since they are part of the network that feeds back into the band's performance, they are integral to the process. The band needs users and technologies in order to enact the performance and find in such experiments new cultural aesthetics and the strategies for achieving them. All these elements come together to open up the world with technological possibility, both in terms of production and enjoyment. The website description of the DVD version of Yoshimi does not mention one of the more unique features of the release, a feature we wish to highlight: frequency waveform cartoons. Above, we described how Yes pursued album cover art and stage design to further their musical worldling. Here we see yet another advance in this direction, this time rather directly achieved through technological mediation. The liner notes explain, quote, "These colored burst patterns are designed by George to act as a kind of soothing visual companion while you are listening to the intense surround feel. With each track, particular frequencies have been animated to bounce and pulsate according to the dynamics of the sounds within the song." Almost as an afterthought, the Flaming Lips invent and distribute a new and exciting addition to the sound, video, multimedia landscape. Rather than producing visuals to accompany the music, the DVD offers a data stream that presents a, quote, "soothing visual companion," end quote, on the screen while the music is playing. This visual companion is actually a machinic interpolation of the equivalent of an oscilloscope run through a flash interpreter. It translates sound frequencies into color, shape, and movement reminiscent of a 1960s multimedia slideshow, but at an intensity and digital mastery that Warhol and the Velvet Underground can only produce in imaginative or chemically enhanced trance. These frequency waveform cartoons, as the liner notes name them, are something we have not experienced before or seen in any other form. They are quite different from what Microsoft calls, and we assert are mislabeled, ambient video presentations in Microsoft Media Player, and similar tools that generate, quote, "visualizations." Indeed, these frequency waveform cartoons inspired one of the authors to design a living space around them. Although the screenshots presented here begin to represent the visual component of these frequency waveform cartoons, because of the limits of the static page and black and white reproduction, they necessarily fail to capture the combination of movement, surround sound, and code that makes the DVD such a magnificently integrative experience. A multimedia artwork looking back to Wagner's Gesamtkunstwerk, even as it pushes through towards something else. It presents a network whole greater than the sum of its constituent parts, which requires the band not only to compose music, write lyrics, and play their instruments, but to paint images to accompany the songs, write liner notes, collaborate with mixing technicians, work with software and web development tools, and develop innovative uses for input streams, that is, what we now refer to as data streams. This last item, developing new uses, in turn allows programmers to devise visual output from sound input, revising still further the cybernetic diagrams we presented earlier. We must begin again to accommodate the various sources, transmitters, feedback loops, and output streams that multi- and hypermediated total art encompasses. Note in the diagram how the signals are simultaneously differentiated and conjoined. They are no longer mere feedback or noise, but crucial elements for the sound becoming mediascape. Contemporary artists, such as the Flaming Lips, who are working in digital multimedia, collapse distinctions among the source or native signal media and see sources simply as varieties of input generating new forms of output, varieties that can be marshaled together. Wayne Coyne described these technological musical composition crossovers. The new Flaming Lips album, he said, is like if Stevie Wonder got together with Led Zeppelin and they had Pro Tools. In the process of bringing together digital design tools with multiple media streams, the Flaming Lips offer examples of immersive new media environments that can be composed. What such innovation confronts us with is the growing sense that we may carry with us outmoded layers of media definition based on technological differences that no longer exist, at least not in the same way as before. In this regard, the Flaming Lips are at the forefront of those beginning to realize some of the implications of the liquidity of digital manipulation for media forms, where the formerly naturalized sense of genres, such as film or music, dissolve or morph. As Jean Baudrillard commented, "I think that it, new technologies, will no doubt explode in all directions, because this is a sprawling medium, and it will grow in all of the domains. But do the ends remain the same? That is doubtless the main problem." So it may be that the diagram is unnecessarily complex, because we retain in our minds habits and vocabulary, definitions that separate visual from video signal, computer signal from television, and telephone from radio. But as the Flaming Lips and others demonstrate, these are convenient, once plausible fictions that are changing more and more. In other words, distinctions between media are increasingly blurred. Even at the techno-material level, digital media are strings of ones and zeros, regardless of our ultimate perception of their differences, manipulated to create worlds in our imagination, without deference to whether they enter through our eyes, ears, or through pulses against our skin. Among other things, this elevates the role and importance of sound, even as it allows us to refocus and learn from sound manipulation and composition techniques. And, as digital signals do not differentiate by the media of transmission, digital tools for sound, such as GarageBand, blur the boundaries between producers and consumers of the signal itself. End of part 5.